compelling program in the public interest. From our studios, we present the weekly devotional services conducted under the auspices of the Billings Ministerial Association. The program this week is under the direction of the Reverend Mr. T.F. Rutledge Beale, pastor of the First Congregational Church.
The earth has grown old with its burden of care, but at Christmas it always is young. The heart of the jewel burns lustrous and fair, and its soul full of music breaks forth on the air when the song of the angels is sung. It is coming, old earth, it is coming tonight. On the snowflakes that cover thy sod, the feet of the Christ child falls gentle and white, and the voice of the Christ child tells out that mankind are the children of God. On the sad and the lonely, the wretched and poor, the voice of the Christ child shall fall, and to every blind wanderer open the door of a hope he dared not to dream of before, with the sunshine of welcome for all. The feet of the humblest may walk in the field where the feet of the holiest have trod. This is the marvel to mortals revealed, when the silvery trumpets of Christmas have pealed. Mankind are the children of God. Friends and neighbors of Billings and vicinity, these young people, the high school choir, the First Congregational Church of Billings, join with me in bringing you the greetings of our church this Christmas Eve. May it be a very blessed Christmas for you and in your hearts, your homes, and your churches. We have just concluded our two morning services, and the next service at the Congregational Church will be at 4:30, when five choirs will continue their interpretation of the message of Christmas. Tonight at 11:15, we shall meet in the charm of the candlelight for a service of Holy Communion as we greet Christmas morning. We invite all whose hearts join with ours in a sincere welcome to the Spirit of the Christ. This morning I'd like to take the opportunity to reflect upon one of the outstanding notes of Christmas. I would call it the triumph of Christmas. Triumph over what? It can be summed up in one short dread word, a word that sums up more of human history, more of the world's tragedy, more of mankind's heartache than any other word in any language, and that is fear. The triumph of Christmas is the triumph over fear. Be not afraid. The cringing shepherds well symbolize the world into which Christianity came, a fear-ridden world. Nature's forces were dark, dreadful. It was a world peopled with demons and evil spirits. Tyrants ruled in high places, while resentment, hate, and fear consumed the hearts of the people. Any gods they discerned in those days were not a cause for joy, but only grounds for further apprehension. Life was somber, without light or meaning or sense. The great god fear ruled the world. In the ages that have passed since then, we seem to have made great progress. But when we stop measuring progress in terms of refrigerators and cars and gadgets and become more realistic, we begin to recognize that we have very largely been putting new clothes on old fears, that we have only been passing from one haunted chamber to another, that we have not yet learned to get to the roots of our fears, that fear still rules the world. Some years ago, Basil King, in a book called The Conquest of Fear, made some remarks which sound strangely up to date. Let's quote from that book. He said, "Look at the people you run up against in the course of a few hours. Everyone is living or working in fear. The mother is afraid for her children. The father is afraid for his business. The clerk is afraid for his job, and the worker is afraid of his boss or his competitor. There is hardly a man who is not afraid of some other man, that he will do him a bad turn. There's hardly a woman who is not afraid that the thing she craves most will be denied her, or what she loves most may be snatched away. There's not a factory or a school or a church in which some hangdog apprehension is not eating at the hearts of men and women and children. We are having an exhibition of fear so colossal that the heart of man is dazed by it. There's not a government that is not afraid of some other government. There is not a government that is not afraid of its own people. There's not a people that's not afraid of its own government. All is rivalry, enmity, suspicion, confusion, and distrust, while men's hearts are fainting for fear, from the supreme councils of the nations down to the crooks and conspirators in dives and joints. Everyone is afraid of being double-crossed." Well, has the world improved since King wrote those words? You know the answer. Fear of oneself, of one's neighbor, fear of strange people, fear of yesterday, today, tomorrow, fear of life's forces, and of the universe and God himself, all still dominate the souls of men, robbing them of power and destroying their peace, impoverishing their lives. It is to this old, old problem, the fear-ridden heart, that Christmas addresses itself. Be not afraid. How easily we can justify our fears. We look back and say, they had no real cause for fear with only angels in the skies. Bombing planes, angels of death may fill ours. They had a simple rural world very much under their own control. But we live in a world that is baffling in its intricacy. Theirs was a simple economy, but we live in one dominated by business ruthlessness, which we must match or die. They lived in a haunted world, true. Many of their problems were but figments of their own imagination. But the things we fear are real. Have we ever stopped to think how far the things we fear have been caused by our fears? The economic terrors of our day exist largely because of our fears. We have more than any other generation has ever had, and we are more fearful. Fearing one another, fearing life, fearing tomorrow, we become incapable of reason, understanding, and cooperation, and so we all grab for our own. And thus, because of fear, we create a situation full of terrors for ourselves and others.
And all the while, the storehouse of the world is overflowing with more than enough for all men. The world situation today is largely the outcome of the interaction of our fears with the communist fears, as we stimulate the worst out of each other, until intangible fears take tangible form and the birds of death fill the sky. And the basic cause of all fear? I know many things contribute, and I do not want to oversimplify under the pressure of time, but I would stress the fact that fears multiply chiefly because of the lack of basic peace and security which only faith and trust in the God of love can bring. Fear will dominate the earth until the God of love rules the hearts of all mankind. Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, a Savior, the answer to all fears, the safeguard against all evil, the dispenser of joy, the light of the world. And that Savior, a child in a manger, what is the great secret? That life embodies the two greatest truths the world can ever know: God's unchanging love for mankind and mankind's essential brotherhood. Take him into your heart, and the shadows of the night and all its terrors will progressively depart. Not all at once. The habits of the years are hard to change, but they will depart with divine certainty. At Christmas time, we do this to some extent, and for a limited time. But with what stupendous results. In that brief interlude between the spells of our madness, that armistice of hate, suspicion, and worry, the fears that paralyze us are lifted. And all life achieves a sweetness and satisfaction, a peace and a joy, that ushers us to the very gate of heaven. People who may be atheists or agnostics normally, or hold a philosophy of a cold, impersonal, indifferent, or even mechanical universe, change at Christmas time. Under the touch of the Christ child, even for them, the world takes on a glow and a glory that at least makes it feel as if God is love. In spite of our traditional skepticism, our habitual suspicion and fear of one another, humanity becomes dearer, life more sacred, and kindness and goodwill thaw out our frozen hearts. When the true spirit of Christmas enters our hearts, it brings awareness that the universe is founded on friendship and that at its heart is a spirit of love. This transforms all life. Here is the triumph of Christmas, and may it spread out over all the years that lie ahead.
Thank you.
friends and neighbors of Billings and vicinity, will you join with us in a prayer on this Christmas Eve? Let us pray. Our God, our Father, we, thy children of many occupations and creeds, gathered around many a festive board and many a fireside, are united on Christmas Eve by our faith in thee. We may be invisible to one another while we speak, but all are seen and known and loved by thee. For the love that will not let us go, we bless thee. For the love that has pursued us all the days of our life, and that once spoke to the world in the song of the angels over Bethlehem, that is still speaking in the voices of little children, the great divine love that overflows the world at Christmas time. For that, we thank thee. May no one in this city be left out of the joy of Christmas Eve. May gladness shine into every home, large or small, rich or poor, far or near. May the light stream into every room, visit every hospital, flood every church. May it find out every lonesome man or woman, boy or girl. May it banish from our hearts discouragement, feeble faith, vain regrets. Bring us into the joyous company of those who believe forever in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. If we have any enemies toward whom we have felt bitter this past year, may we forgive them today as we hope to be forgiven. If we have ever been disloyal to our own home, our church, our city, we ask thee to pardon. Bring us back into affection, into patriotism, into religion. Send out thy light and thy truth over all the earth, we beseech thee. May the nations of the earth cease to be hostile camps, suspecting and plotting, and altogether may they devote their various gifts to the coming of thy kingdom. We would remember specially at this time boys from this and like communities throughout the land who find themselves in the distant, dangerous places of the world in the defense of the things that are dear to our hearts. May they know thy nearness. May they know thy strength. And may they hear the Christmas message again with a new understanding that will give them hope that their sacrifices are not in vain, that the day will come and we'll find a better way to handle these problems. Meantime, may the atmosphere of Christmas guard their hearts. May memories of home keep them with an inner joy that the outer noise of the world cannot quench. And may they know that we and they together are at home, even if in different rooms of the Father's house. So we pray thee to save us from petty prejudice, from party spirit, from stupid hatred and foolish fear. Make the new year so soon to dawn a year of international faith, of worldwide hope, of enduring charity. While friends put many gifts into our hands, wilt thou, our Father, put into our souls those spiritual gifts which neither life nor death can take away. In his name and for his sake, amen.
Thank you.
You have heard the weekly devotional services conducted this week by the Reverend T.F. Rutledge Beale, pastor of the First Congregational Church. This program was presented in the public interest. This is Billings, KGHL, the Northwestern Auto Supply Company station.